the newest family board games for the holidays. I'm Tom Shine, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCown Gordon Construction and listeners like you.
Coming up, exploring a new exhibit at the Wichita Art Museum.
Feeling the way the colors and the shapes interact, and they push and pull, and they speak to each other, and they dance with each other.
But first, the holiday season is approaching, and if you're looking for some fun things to do during family get-togethers, you might consider a new card or board game. Suzanne Perez takes us to a Wichita toy store again this year to see what's new for your game table.
If you're shopping for a game this holiday season, you have a lot to consider.
Single-player games, multiplayer games, party games, games that are great to play with kids where you don't have to dumb down to play with them is even better. I think that's a real category.
Gwen Ottenberg is owner of Imagine That Toys in Wichita. She's been selling games for more than 25 years and playing them even longer. No matter where she goes, she keeps a game handy.
I'm a big fan of a restaurant game that you can play, order your food, play a game, and then by the time the food comes, you're done with your game, and it keeps the kids engaged and off the screens.
In the single-player category this year, Ottenberg recommends a new logic game called Prime Suspect. Working alone or with a friend, players arrange 9 suspect cards into a 3x3 grid using directional clues on the case cards.
Monica is below Joe and next to Devin.
Once you have the characters placed, the one in the middle is the prime suspect. Then just flip over your case card to check your work. There are 45 case cards in each box, ranging from easy to difficult.
This is like Sudoku without numbers, so a kid that needs those logic building games but doesn't want to do numbers, this will totally work for them.
If you prefer something faster paced and fiercely competitive, the makers of the dice throwing game Tenzi have a new game called Chipsy. It features 49 chips numbered 1 through 7 in 7 different colors. The object is simple.
We're going to pick a color and try and find the numbers 1 through 7 in only our color faster than our opponent.
It's kind of a frenetic memory game with hands flying and players in a wild scramble to find their chips.
2, 3, 4.
No!
I need the one.
And like its predecessor, Tenzi, this would be a perfect game to throw onto the table while Thanksgiving dinner is cooking. Another new and significantly calmer activity for groups is a strategic card game called Tacta. In this battle of dots, players flip, twist, and turn their cards to cover their opponent's shapes with matching squares, triangles, and rectangles. And there's no game board here.
The nice thing about this one, you're only defined by the amount of space you have to play. The bigger the table, the more the fun.
Players take turns adding cards to a shared play area, with each new card overlapping a previous one. The player with the most dots visible on their cards at the end of the game is the winner.
It's either 47 or 48.
Oh, because I think I got 39. So I think you beat me.
What?
Well, you know, let's recount.
Like lots of modern family games, Tacta takes only 15 or 20 minutes to play. So whether you have little pockets of time or a whole evening together, board games are a great option.
You can have full-on game nights. We're always in for game nights. Or, you know, the rain crushed your plans. You can pull out a game and have a great time.
For The Range, I'm Suzanne Perez.
You can find more board game recommendations at KMUW.org. The newest exhibit at the Wichita Art Museum challenges our expectations that art is often about a brush and an easel and a man. For this edition of Artworks, Torrin Anderson toured the museum's new exhibit with curator Tara Hedrick and director Molly McPherson.
Yeah, I would just say I love the scale of this piece. When you turn the corner and come into this final gallery, you have Helen Frankenthaler and you have Joan Mitchell, and these are women whose art is taking up space.
Curator Tara Hedrick introduces the piece in front of her.
We are looking at the Helen Frankenthaler painting, Bending Blue,
And if you don't love or you don't know or you don't have a ton of experience with abstract expressionism, I think this is a great place to start.
And this work of art is bright and bold.
Because part of what abstract expressionism is about is the experience of looking, the experience of feeling, the experience of standing in front of a painting and feeling the color and feeling the shapes and feeling the way the colors and the shapes interact. And they push and pull, and they speak to each other, and they dance with each other.
Bending blue towers over the viewer.
It's supposed to take up your whole visual field, right? You're supposed to stand in front of it and feel enveloped by it, surrounded by it, overwhelmed by it, in the way you get enveloped by the sky or the sea or nature. And that's what Frankenthaler wants us to experience when we stand in front of the work.
Enthusiastically, Hedrick steers us toward another Frankenthaler painting titled After Rubens.
If you know your art history, you know that Rubens was a Northern Baroque painter famous for his gorgeous, beautiful, fleshy, rotund, incredibly, you know, zaftig ladies.
Frankenthaler takes inspiration from Rubens' work and makes it her own.
It is a riff on and a take on a portrait of Rubens' wife, but she has this gorgeous, like, fur, this kind of gorgeous fur blanket, and so you can see the brown, the reference to the fur.
Hedrick points out the process Frankenthaler used for creating this painting.
She's staining the canvas. So you can see the bare canvas. She would have laid it on the ground, and then she would have poured the paint. And it creates a painting where the paint isn't sitting on the surface of the canvas, but it has been soaked into the canvas.
This painting approach is unique in a show with other artists who are building up paint, making for thicker canvases. It's obvious this artist is a staff favorite, and they love the reference to and take pride in the Wichita Art Museum's collection, which celebrates a Frankenthaler of its own. McPherson explains.
And the delightful parallel with our own piece, which is my favorite work of art in Wichita Art Museum's collection. So, yeah, sorry every other artist, but I love it.
For The Range, I'm Torin Anderson.
And one last thing. On a sunny afternoon at a neighborhood park in Los Angeles, dozens of people gathered for Mino Shine's birthday party. He turned one last Sunday, but the impact he's had on people in that short time is remarkable. He was surrounded by his grandparents, all of his aunts and uncles, other family members, and plenty of friends. Many traveled thousands of miles to spend the day with him, even though he's only been in their lives for 12 months. But I suppose that's the joy a grandchild brings to everyone in their orbit, and why people are eager to share in that moment. There was cake, of course, and music from a band dressed as wizards that had the children, and many adults, bobbing their heads and swaying to the beat. It was a wonderful afternoon for a wonderful boy, although as his poppy, I'm a bit biased. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Carly Cooper, Beth Goulet, Jonathan Huber, and Lou Ann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Tom Shine, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.